Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, we've been talking about what's been happening in Utah, and we're finally, Pat, we're going to get to it.
Finally.
We're going to do it. We're going to talk about it. But right now, what's happening in Utah is that fathers are suing Utah, the state of Utah, over a law, Pat, that's allowing mothers to secretly give up babies for adoption. Secretly. I mean, there's nothing against, I mean, if you can't care for your child and it's something that, you know, you need God's help and wisdom. I mean, these are really decisions that you really have to pray about. But if it comes between you aborting a child and giving the child up for adoption, you know, by all means, you know, seek the Lord, but offer the baby up so that someone can love on that child and raise that child up. That's a kind of different scenario. But we're talking about women that are secretly not telling the father and giving up the baby for adoption. And Fox News is reporting that a dozen men right now are suing the state of Utah in a federal court because of this law that allows mothers to put their babies up for adoption without the biological father's consent or sometimes even knowledge. The civil rights lawsuit claims the Utah Adoption Act has resulted in what amounts to legalized fraud and kidnapping. And there's an attorney by the name of Wes Hutchins, and he's basically is the attorney for the men. And he says that he is very pro-adoption, having served as the president of the Utah Adoption Council and is currently serving as the president of the Utah Council of Ethical Adoption Practices. But he continues to say that adoptions need to be done ethically, legally, and constitutionally, and above all else, they need to be done with the consent and the knowledge and the awareness of both biological parents. And this is you know, something that's really heartbreaking as you hear about this man. His name is Nicholas. And this is what he says, because they interviewed him. He says, "Well, I thought I was going to have a son," Nicholas Thurnwald recalled. Mm-hmm. He said he was thrilled by the idea of being a father while he and his living girlfriend at the time in 2004 waited for their child to be born. And we were together all the way up until the last couple of days before the birth. Then Thurnwald called his girlfriend to see if she maybe wanted to go to the movies. And a coworker answered the phone at the department store that she was working at and basically let him know that she was in the hospital having our baby. Thurnwald immediately called the hospital. They patched me through to her. This is the way the article reads. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if she was giving up our son for adoption, and she said, "Kinda." I said, there is no kinda. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And she says, "Look, I gotta go." I dropped to my knees, dropped my phone that I was holding, and just started crying. A grown man on a construction site crying his eyes out.
Wow.
When you hear that,
that's horrific.
I mean, it's devastating. It's devastating to see what happened, what occurred. He says, after 10 years and more than $30,000 in legal fees, Thurnwald lost his bid to gain custody. And so this article, we'll make sure that this is related for you on this segment so that you can, you know, read more of what's happening and what's going on. But this is something that is so important. And the article continues to say that mothers now are moving. They're moving from all parts of the country to Utah because of this law to be able to give up their child without the father knowing anything about it. And, you know, this is not good.
No.
How can fathers' rights be ignored and denied? You know, the child has two parents, and both parents have the right to speak into the child's life. You know, what's the best parent? Both parents. And if one of them doesn't want them, you know, if she doesn't want the child, then at least give it to the father that does. Yeah,
exactly.
Give it to the father that does. But why would you withhold that? And it makes you just think about, man, what is happening in today's society? You know, when it comes to family and children, you have blended families. These are all, you know, challenging things to deal with. You know, and raising a family is not for the weak. It's especially, you know, challenging, and it seems like everything in the world is trying to come up, you know, against a family. And it's something that, let me tell you, we have spent over, you know, 10 years in this community talking about the Malachi mandate, and then how God was going to turn, God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons' hearts to the fathers. And we saw just a beautiful year after year, beautiful encounters where fathers and sons were just turning their hearts to each other and melting, and how important it is to have, you know, a male in your life, but not just the male, but to have a father. I mean,
right.
I'm coming from an experience as a counselor for the Department of Juvenile Justice. I'm coming from experience as a worker in a foster home,
mm-hmm.
which probably is one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I mean, I just saw I had compassion. I just lived in a continual state of brokenness, mm-hmm. Pat. When I saw these beautiful children, and I was in college at the time, I'd walk in and they'd just, you know, grab my leg and hug me. And
and
at 2 o'clock, when I would walk into the home, the foster home, for my shift, and I stayed from like 2 to 12, and then the next, you know, counselor would come in afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But part of my responsibility was to help put the boys to bed, you know, at the end of the night. And when I would come in at 2, some of the boys would come up and say to me, "Are you going to pray for us tonight? Are you going to pray for us tonight?"
Wow.
Because that was my pattern. After we got them to, you know, brush their teeth and, you know, get to bed and all that, mm-hmm. I would pray with them every night. And I thank the Lord so much for that, just that moment in time that I had to do that. I'm telling you, it was one of the most awesome things that I had a chance to do. But I'm coming from this type of experience. I'm coming from several years of being a youth pastor, from helping Bible clubs and different, you know, schools in the city in which I lived. And, of course, as being a father myself, you know, I have two daughters, and it's so important for men and fathers to be in their children's lives.
Mm.
And then, of course, you know, our experience with the father-son mandate and Next Step Outback and all the different things that we've done to help families. Listen, it's important. It's important, and we must not remain silent.
Mm-mm.
We've got to look at across the spectrum and say, you know, there's two parents. Fathers, you know, are not to be overlooked. And we talked about this in a previous program, how it seems like this generation of fathers understand, are getting an understanding of how important it is to be there, you know, in their child's life, and,
mm-hmm.
and what they, you know, can contribute and what they add. And I remember that, you know, because oftentimes parents want to do all the great things that they can for their child. You know, you always hear, "Oh, I love my children," and, you know, "There's nothing like a mother's love," or, you know, "There's nothing like a father's love." Everyone loves their, you know, you want to love your children. But I remember that I heard this once as a young man before I ever had any children, even before I was married. I believe it was even at a men's gathering or a Promise Keepers conference. But I remember when the speaker said, you know, he's talking to all these men, stadium of men. He says, "You want to know what's the greatest thing that you can do for your child, the greatest thing you can do for your kids?" You know, and I'm like, I'm listening, you know. All pins and needles. And he looked into this sea of men. These were thousands of men in a stadium. And you can hear a pin drop. And the guy just, you know, points his finger to the crowd. He says, "You be a man of God." He said, "You be a man of God is the most powerful thing that you can do for your child and for your family."
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that thing just resonated, and you hear all the men, you know, this roar come out and clapping. And it's true. It's true. You be a man of God. You be a woman of God. You say, "Hey, listen, I want to live for God. I want to do my very best to live by God's word, to hear what he's saying, to abide with him, because I want to raise..." Malachi tells us that the reason we have marriage is to produce godly offspring. The reason why we have children, you know, they're not decoration or for us,
mm-hmm.
but because God wants godly offspring. And it's our responsibility to seek him out, because they're entrustments. I mean, they're here with us for just a
short
amount of time. You know, it's amazing. When they're small, you're like, I want you to stay here forever. And then when they get older, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, you're soon, right? But, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome being a dad. I know we've shared some amazing experiences. Mm-hmm. And we need both parents in the lives of children. We need both parents. But we need parents that really want to seek the heart of God and understand that when we have children, they are our entrustments, and we're going to be held accountable for the things that we say, for the things that we do, and what we show them, good or bad. Mm. So we can avoid tomorrow's regrets by saying, hey, you know, let's do the right thing today.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. And yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.